This week, we all get a bit fired up after that very, very spicy episode. We discuss that dagger again. And we finally get to the bottom of who would win in a duel, John of House Bracken or Gareth of House Blackwood. Welcome to Bastards and Broken Things.
Bastards and broken things and I'm mad now.
That'd be mad,
wouldn't it? I'm Gareth Blackwood.
Hello and welcome to Bastards and Broken Things, a podcast covering House of the Dragon, brought to you by the lovely very adorable Fan Critical Network. I'm joined by two of those adorable members right now.
You forgot who we were for a second, didn't you? The very lovely...
My fellow lord, Bronze John.
Yeah. Hello there. Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Good, cheers. And serving us wine and keeping us full and content during this podcast... we have the most famous squire in the realm, Gareth.
The most popular squire in the realm.
Only.
Yeah, the small folk pine for you. They're making plays
the half about foots.
Gareth the squire. Yeah, the half foots.
Who will be king?
Fucking hell.
Will it be the squire? Yeah, Jesus. Definitely.
Anyway, you both all right, are you? You both all right? You chugging along?
Chugging along, innit? Just days. Cracking on, just yeah. Doing more of these. Still more of these, to be honest. They just said to just come out and just say hello and that at the beginning. Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. Look, I'm, I'm in the UK, which is a bit solemn at the moment.
Yes, of course.
Why is that?
Yeah, because all the football's been cancelled, hasn't it? Yeah. But also the Queen. Yeah. The Queen has passed away.
That is actually sad. And as we're all British on this podcast, obviously... It has been a sad... I was actually more affected by it than I thought I would be, John. So it caught me by complete surprise.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said you were delighted because you got the bank holiday in Australia.
I did say it's good that we get a bank holiday, but that is just because I need time to mourn.
She's our queen too, you know. So. She's our queen too.
Yes, yeah. Anyway... It has been a weird week like that. But of course, let's get on to what we're really here to talk about, which is episode 4 of House of the Dragon, titled The King of the Narrow Sea. And this was a very steamy episode. Things really went up a notch. And
You can't say that.
I want to know. I want to know if you were all fired up, Bronze John. I'm fascinated to hear your thoughts, because me and Gareth have obviously already discussed it.
He's sweating now. Look at him. Look at his sweaty little face.
Dripping with sweat. Jesus
Christ.
Very
hot, actually. Humid. You've not even introed Gaz, have you? Or did I miss that? Oh, sorry.
Most famous squire in the realm.
Sorry, I was having a drink.
So you just meant to come out and say hello, and then that's it. So just don't interrupt.
All right, see ya. Do you want my blueberry score from the off or what?
You do it the way you want to do it, mate.
All right.
It's your rodeo.
Four blues. He hasn't worked it out yet. Oh.
Four blues. There you go.
Yeah. It's funny. The reaction to this incest makes me chuckle, actually, because there's a lot of people on the internet superhighway. You know, talking in the forums or the forums, as you like to say, and they are shipping. They're shipping the relationship. Yeah, and it's weird. There's quite a lot of like, yay. I'm just like,
book readers, maybe.
Just even Michelle, when we watched it, she was like, "Ah, see, I knew they were going to get together," and she seemed like quite happy. I was like, "You know, that's his niece, right?" And she's like, "No, I know, but they're like that, aren't they?" That's what she said. She goes, "Oh, they're like that. There's precedent for it." Can't get behind it myself, to be honest. There's a wall in the way, for one. Look, overall, I thought there was some there were some interesting bits in the episode. I was kind of
always with that.
Hold on, it's a bit dark. That, let me just rewind that. Fuck, we've been watching this episode for 5 hours. Come on. Yeah, it was some of the things that you spoke about in the hot take about kind of the over the topness of Flea Bottom.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, I agree. It's a bit too much, isn't it? It's not that much of a sordid squalor, is it? Like, come on. I also was interested to see what you thought, Len, of the fact that we've now got another episode that's just in King's Landing, or for the most part. I know they're at Storm's End for a bit.
Yeah.
What did you think of that? Because I know you were keen to get away from it a little bit.
Yeah, it's just, it's kind of like Game of Thrones season one, where it was, even then, they had three locations. They had Winterfell, then they had King's Landing, and they had Essos,
yep.
Pentos, and then the Dothraki Sea, wherever that may be. So, yeah, it is a bit stagnant, but I think this episode, more than others, had some parts of King's Landing we hadn't seen for a while or ever, like the stuff we've read about, like the secret passageways and stuff, you know? That was cool, because we haven't actually seen that in the show, but we know in the books you sort of... Varys uses them fucking all the time, you know, to get around the Red Keep and stuff.
Easier, isn't it?
So that was cool. Getting on street level was a little bit different. But yeah, they we need to see somewhere else soon, because it's getting silly now.
She dressed as Oliver Twist money, as well, didn't she? A little good, wasn't it?
Please, sir.
Yeah, your mate. No, yeah. Your mate from...
Yeah.
From work.
Straight into the brothel. Please, sir, can I have some more? Don't be so greedy.
Yeah.
finish your first first. Then...
No, I enjoyed it. It's it felt like more of a cleaner Game of Thrones style episode.
Mm.
I thought the ending was pretty strong as well.
Good ending.
This is what I'm talking about when I say Otto Hightower, he's been too, like, sly and obvious. This is what I didn't like about him before. His reactions in this episode, as a viewer, you now sympathise with him, and it's difficult for you. You look at him and go, has he actually done anything wrong here? What,
no.
What's going on? No.
Of course he hasn't.
Well, or maybe, who knows? But it's not as overt as the other episodes have been, where it's like, oh, guess what's happened here? I said, like, oh, go away, mate. Whereas this, he was really good in this episode. Really good. Of that.
We talked about that and said how it was like he's actually kind of doing his duty, but the other things have kind of fucked him over from before, you know, all these little conversations. All right then, Gareth. So, you know, put your flagon of wine down and just come let us know your thoughts, please, young squire.
I'm going to concur with John and give it 4 bloobs. Mostly because of the incest stuff, actually. Big fan of that.
Mm.
That's not wrestling, though, Gaz. They're not wrestling.
What are they doing then?
We'll tell you later. Okay. We'll tell him later.
Yeah, after Patreon only.
Well,
content. Us telling Gaz what was going on in the episode.
And it was cool to see different wrestlers up against each other at different times as well. But yeah, that was cool. Like I said in Hot Takes, I thought, Flea Bottom was way over the top. It was like it was like some sort of like festival horror film, like Carnival. Like, oh, what's going on here? But I think what's happened is like descriptions from the book are like, oh, Flea Bottom is the worst place in the world. You don't want to get stuck there. And it's like, yeah, that's absolutely true. That's completely true. But that's like, you know, Streatham in London. But it's not like you're going to walk past and see sort of...
Streatham's actually quite nice now.
Oh, well.
Yeah, we live there, John. Wasn't when we lived there. It was a shithole when you were there.
Yeah. But, you know, that doesn't mean there is literally constant shenanigans taking place. Like, you're not going to see a murder, a rape, a man blowing fire, a woman with no eyes. Like, these aren't...
What a show that was, though.
Well, yeah, but exactly. Like, it's going to have to be a specific show. This is supposed to be just an ordinary night. You spoke about the ending. Some of the reaction that I've seen to this episode kind of inverts how I see it, in that I've read quite a few people sort of saying didn't love the sort of the first three quarters of the episode, but that last quarter really blew them away. And they're actually referencing the dagger scene as being a real positive for a lot of them. And I don't know. I'm wondering now, like, have I just been tainted with cynicism? And, like, maybe if I was with the blissfully ignorant over there, I would have enjoyed that part of the episode, but I really didn't. I was like, this is fucking stupid. Mm. Stop doing this.
Yeah, rubbish again.
And that...
We'll get into the dagger. We'll try and weigh that up later.
But that was the weaker part of the episode for me. I liked this kind of change of pace, you know, a little bit sexier. Well, a lot sexier, really.
Way sexier.
It was good. Good to have that. So, yeah, four bloops from me.
Yeah, I will join the Minutemen, as we used to be called, and give it four blueberries, because I think I've given every episode a four. I don't know. Did I? Have I? Maybe I have. Yeah. Nothing has taken me to a five yet, and this definitely isn't a three. I think there's some really good stuff in here with Damon, his haircut for one,
yeah,
much better.
His little crown.
Really liking his new hairstyle. Yeah, liking his new crown. We'll get onto that in a bit as well. I like the development of the situation with him and Rhaenyra. They definitely have a chemistry, which was hinted at even in episode one. And, you know, it did come very quickly. Oh, God, wrong, bad use of words. It
crass,
rose.
Isn't it? Just say crass.
But also the way they went, oh, God. Oh, come on, yeah, mate. We didn't need the...
Yeah, you have to make sound effects as well, mate. I can tell by the look.
I just mean that it sort of arrived out of nowhere here, because...
Arrived out of nowhere as well. Accident. Now go on, carry on.
Sorry. Right, let me finish.
Not like that. But, he can't help himself, can he? Fucking hell.
You just let us know when you finish, mate.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Well, twice already.
Jesus Christ.
Go on.
Anyway, I think overall, like Gaz said, the episode's a lot sexier, but it wasn't just sex position for the sake of it. It was actually extremely meaningful interactions. And I can't finish my fucking point because of you children. Yeah? So, unbelievable.
Unbelievable. People listening back to this, like, is he having a laugh?
Yeah.
No, it was a much better episode than last week's, actually. Even though last week's had all of the battle scenes and things, I think the show is at its best when we're having these conversations. But, you know, the Otto and Viserys stuff at the end is brilliant. And I'm really liking Rhaenyra's character. She is so, like, I don't know, she's untamed at the moment, and she's causing chaos, and Daemon is pure chaos, so together it's a bit of a disaster. But
Viserys described her as restless and chaotic. I think that's quality.
Which is what Daemon is, which is what Daemon is, really. So you can see they have the similarities. And you know, another year has passed, so you know, time is going on quite quickly. I like the juxtaposition with Alicent stuff. I thought that was really good, and is setting up some stuff between those two characters, Rhaenyra and Alicent, later on. So for me, it's a four. I'm still waiting for the episode, you know, the five bloob. Where is it? Where is it? Is it coming? Who knows?
Would you be disappointed if every episode of the season was a 4 or 3? Would that be a disappointing season?
Yes. Yes, I think so. Because the thing that sets Game of Thrones above some other shows is its moments. Now, we'll all agree that Game of Thrones wasn't always the best show on television. Maybe a couple of seasons were, but overall, if you look at the seasons, there's some definite dips in there. And if you were to compare it to something like The Sopranos or Breaking Bad or The Wire, you would say those shows are far more consistent than Game of Thrones. So Game of Thrones excels in moments, and I'm worried that at the moment we haven't got one of those to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that for me is what gives it a chance of being one of the most memorable shows. You know, Red Wedding, Baelor, you know, episode 9, season 1, Hard Home, the Field of Fire battle scene, Battle of the Bastards, you know, you can, you know, the Sept getting blown up. All that shit's amazing. Mm. So we need a moment, and I hope it comes. Episode 9 is usually when it should happen. So we'll see how we go. But yeah, I would be disappointed, John, I have to say, because it's HBO. It's Game of Thrones. We expect some standout episodes, and there has to be one soon. They've all been very good, in my opinion, as you've seen, 4 from me across the board, and you've only gone to 3 once, John. So, and Gaz has gone 3 once. So that's pretty good scores, but we just need that moment to really catch a...
I was waiting for you to try and work out what the average score was there.
My brain was ticking like, can't figure it out. All right, let's have a quick little advert and then we'll jump into the plot. Thank you to everyone who is listening to the show, whether it's on the Fan Critical channel, the Bastards and Broken Thing channel. We really appreciate it. If you could subscribe and share, that would be amazing. And if you want to support the show further, you can go to patreon.com/fancritical and give us some of those precious monies, yeah, to help us with operating costs, keep John nice and fed, you know, because he likes to eat and drink booze. No, I'm joking. It doesn't really go towards that, but
operating costs. I'm not seeing any of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Tax deductible, so, I'd imagine. It's your job.
It's in the piggy bank. It's in the piggy bank.
Don't call him that.
And we have a new Patreon this week, guys. Terry Pitnick.
Ah, Terry.
Thank you for joining the Patreon. We really appreciate it. We appreciate your support. You've interacted with us a lot on socials as well. And it's nice to have your support for what is essentially our core show, Game of Thrones / House of the Dragon. So we really do appreciate your support, and we are thrilled that you are loving the content, which you must be because you joined the Patreon. So
thank you very much.
Kind of says it all, doesn't it, really? Yeah. Thank you very much. And like I said, you can join Terry and our other amazing Patreons by going to patreon.com/fancritical, and at the bare minimum, just subscribe to the channel. That's all we want. Just subscribe to the channel, bare minimum. Take it to the next level, Patreon. All right, let's jump into the plot, shall we, boys?
Boys.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Drinking apple juice. I'm trying to fool my brain into believing that that's a beer.
I'm drinking pink gin.
You're drinking pink gin. Pink gin? Swigging it as well. Fucking hell. Good on you, mate.
Let's have it. All right, then, boys. The plot begins thusly. Rhaenyra travels to Storm's End, where, with Lord Bormund Baratheon's guidance, she meets and rejects countless suitors. Okay, so I said this is a hot take, and I think I've confirmed it. This is the first time we have been inside Storm's End. It's quite cool.
Yeah, I think the closest that we would have got to it would have been kind of wherever Renly was situated with his army. But
that's right.
I don't think we saw Storm End at all in Game of Thrones, the series. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. It's always nice to, I mean, we've got Harrenhal in slightly better shape than it is in Game of Thrones in the first
season
episode.
Two, yeah.
Yeah. More of that. You know, jump around. It's good.
It sort of descends into chaos. I mean, firstly, let's just say this. Beric Dondarrion, we mentioned it in the hot take. This is the shit Beric Dondarrion. Jesus Christ, this is a bad one.
Well, he's still better than the guy they cast as Beric in season one.
In season one, Beric. Oh, my God. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Ned's like,
in Game of Thrones season one, he was
Beric
such a weak guy.
Come up
Beric
here Dondarrion. For a sec. And it's just some guy just wanders over from, I don't know, finance. Yeah, you're right.
He was 100% in finance. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah,
take your glasses
Come on,
off.
We need you to go and get the mountain. He's like, me? What do you want me to do him for? Fucking tax evasion. Yeah, awful, yeah. Awful. But yeah, I think all of the older people that are representing the houses look a bit rubbish. I mean, we've seen the Starks already.
Yeah, they look shit.
Yeah, so that's fine, but. I kind of, you want it that way. Otherwise, people will be like, oh, he looks quite cool. Hopefully, he'll be in it more. And then when they're not, you're like, oh, that's annoying.
Yeah. What did you think about this, dear listeners? The scene at the end of this little, you know, courtship was very fun. You know, a character that reminded me of Gareth steps up, right? And he's, you know, pleading with Rhaenyra. Oh, right?
I don't think he was. I think he was very... gracefully presenting
diligent
his case.
Diligent.
Yeah. He was giving it a go, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then someone like Bronze John Bracken on the sideline going, shut up. You're a dickhead.
Well, he doesn't say that, does he?
What does he say then?
He says the C word. He says the C word. We are an explicit podcast, but some barriers I just won't cross. John could do what the fuck he wants.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he goes, shut up, you dumb cunt, or something like that.
So one thing that we didn't mention yesterday in the hot take is that obviously this is a Bracken and it's a Blackwood that's, you know, putting himself forward, and the Brackens and the Blackwoods are like arch rival families who I'm pretty sure they're a massive feature in the Duncan Egg stories. They're kind of ongoing feuds. And you know, Sir Duncan and Egg have to sort of mediate some of their squabbles. But so it's quite nice to see those families and those crests there. That was quite cool.
Even if the people like the kid for the Brackens, like Jesus Christ, man, like John said, I think some of the casting for some of these ancillary characters is borderline atrocious. Isn't it? It's just fucking shit.
But they're
shit.
Not helped by the fact that this was just stupid as a scene. Like, I mean, I'm saying it was cool to see the Brackens and the Blackwoods, but like, come on, this is nonsense. This conversation is so... And then when they start getting their swords out, somebody goes, sheathe your steel, you twats. What is this?
Yeah, Lord Borman says that, yeah.
Oh, it was him.
Lord Borman says that. Yeah.
He has the right to, but...
It's his house. Do what the fuck he says. It's his house, yeah?
He's killed him there, surely. He's killed him, isn't he? He must have done.
He's dead. He killed the Bracken. But what's interesting as well is...
how's that not kicking off a massive civil war? Like
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I said to Gareth in the hot take. Like, the realm is very destabilised at the moment because of this shit. This wouldn't usually happen. Also, I thought it was interesting that Beric Dondarrion is from Blackhaven Castle, which is... where Crispy McCrispin, Sir Criston, is from too.
Mr. Crisps.
He is, that's Mr. Crisp. He's from there. Mm. And we'll be seeing more of Mr. Crisp later in this episode. Mm-hmm. Rhaenyra's had enough. She's fed up of this shit. She returns to King's Landing. Just as she does, Prince Daemon arrives on Caraxes, rocks the boat, literally. He arrives from the Stepstones, and he says that he was named King of the Narrow Sea, but swears allegiance to King Viserys and hands his crown to him. What do you boys think the crown was made out of? I've put crab feeder's bones, question mark.
I thought human. So. Sorry.
It looked human.
It looked human, do you think? So that was, I was thinking, was this little crab feeder's, like, hand bones or something?
Ribs.
Or his ribs.
Ribs.
But then I thought they're a little bit small. Maybe they're actually just crab bones. But then they've got an exoskeleton as well. So none of this makes sense.
Who cares?
Let's go with it. Oh, I knew John would say that.
Who cares? Fucking hell. Like, imagine handing him that crown. And it's like, okay, it's symbolic, but also, so what the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah.
Are these?
Did you see what he does with it? He sort of looks at it, and he looks at it, and he just goes, yeah, take that to one of his King's Guard, and they're like, yeah.
I'll tell you what I did like. When he takes the crown off, and his hair sort of flops to the side, I reckon that wasn't supposed to happen, but because that is what would have happened, naturally, because it happened. They were like, yeah, leave it in. Looks more like, maybe it suits the character. I don't know. He's a bit reckless. I mean, he almost fucking...
Yeah, he's chaotic.
Yeah, almost capsized the boat for no reason. So, like, why are you doing that?
Oh, that's Rhaenyra's boat. I'll just fucking destroy it.
His hair did look cool though, didn't it? I think that's what you're saying. Like, it looked cool. He looked cool.
He's got much better hair now.
Way better.
He's got much better hair now.
Yeah.
It's totally believable as well. Like, he's grown up, he's matured, and his haircut says it all, people. It's nice to see that Viserys and Daemon sort of, reconcile here. This is the, I believe, the first reconciliation that they have. Yeah, this is their first reconciliation. There might be more.
I actually really liked it. There is. I really liked it, and I thought... It was a nice moment of, like, brotherly love that doesn't come around too often in this world. There's a lot of sibling rivalry, and you know, we had it with John and Rob, obviously, and then a little bit with Jamie and Tyrion. But aside from that, it's like everybody fucking hates their siblings, or loves them too much, you know. And this was nice to see a good balance. Yeah.
Happy medium.
Happy medium. Right, do it more like that.
Well, Gareth, you don't know what happens in the book, mate. So let's just say there's some Viserys and Daemon. There's some stuff that happens,
people are
mate.
Shipping that so, for next episode.
People are shipping that for the next
looks
one.
Between them.
That's the second reconciliation, So that's what I was talking about. No, but you're right. They have this brotherly... moment in the Kingswood, in front of the Weirwood tree. And it's actually quite a nice scene. It's like them actually just reminiscing about their mother and how he doesn't give a fuck about seeing Alicent's tapestries. Absolutely mugged her off. Mm. It's quite brutal.
Did he actually say no to
then,
that?
Well, no, but Viserys was like, he don't give a fuck about that. It's Daemon Targaryen.
you know who this is. It was.
You seen it?
Get the football one. It's cancelled.
He was wearing someone's ribs on his head earlier. He don't give a fuck.
His hair stinks.
Yeah. There was a bit though, like at the end of that conversation, and Viserys is like, anyway, as I was saying. Mother always thought you were her favourite. It's like, this is such shit dialogue, but it's fine.
Yeah, it is shit.
Yeah, really weird.
Nice moment, though. It annoys me that his hand on his cheek, doesn't he? Like, older brother to younger brother.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see that Rhaenyra here and Alicent seem to have become friendlier again after their tension in the last episode.
Mm. Didn't see that coming, I have to be honest.
No, neither did I. I thought it was just going to descend and descend and descend. But, there's moments here where they have a bit of tenderness to each other. And I think Rhaenyra genuinely feels sorry for Alicent.
Is she in love? Is Alicent in love with her?
I don't get that vibe.
Oh, that would be interesting. I mean, it's difficult to say. I mean, we'll talk about it later because Alicent is in the High Towers and it's a thing I'll reference later, they are very religious because obviously they come from Old Town, sort of the heart of the faith of the Seven or whatnot, which is why she's so against later on the sister wiving and the fucking incest and all that shit. So,
I'm not referencing anything from the books here. If we're taking the TV show as a completely separate entity.
Yep.
I don't know.
You're getting those vibes, is what you're saying.
Well, certainly when she's going off about Damon and stuff, there's a sense of like, and look, it can be two things. It can be jealousy because she wants to be young and go out and, you know, go to,
I think that's it,
Flea Bottom, yeah, and do naughty stuff. That's fine. But I don't know, there's just a couple of occasions where it feels quite personal when she's specifically talking about her. But look.
I definitely think it's the jealousy thing. And I think the line that Rhaenyra says to her, like, she basically belittles the fact that she's just giving birth to heirs. Do you know what I mean? Like, and Alison, like, she says sorry after she says it because she realizes how fucking brutal it was. And we see later on this episode how she is essentially a prisoner.
Good acting.
Even the way, like...
It's
good stuff.
That little intimate kind of sorry. It wasn't overdone. It was, like, a very realistic, like... I think she even mouths it rather than says it. You know, really good. Really good. Well done. Congratulations.
I do think it's a potential problem for the show to lose these actors as well. They are really good.
Yeah, they are doing really well.
And, you know, I'm sure like they have for most of their sort of main casting, they've done well with it. But it's I just imagine it's a hard role to pick up where somebody's left off as well.
And they're in different mindsets as well.
I wonder whether or not they'll, not necessarily this season, but they'll use them in flashbacks throughout, you know, certainly the next season.
Interesting.
I think there's quite a lot to cover, isn't there? Obviously, we're talking about some significant time jumps. I don't know. It's just speculation, right? But it would make a lot of sense for that to happen.
Mm. Well, let's crack on. Late at night, Rhaenyra, disguised as a boy, after receiving a secret package and a note in High Valyrian, uses the secret tunnels within the Red Keep to sneak out with Daemon and explore King's Landing. They drink and they even attend a play.
This is outrageous.
Fucking outrageous. I thought here it's quite fun that, you know, Daemon, this is Daemon's playground, Flea Bottom. He is known as the Lord of Flea Bottom, one of his many titles.
Jumps on the swing and stuff.
He's used to living there and he's used to spending lots of crazy nights there. It's you know, his seedy little place that he goes to. It's his release.
Stretton.
So him taking Rhaenyra around is quite interesting. What did you think about the witch with no eyes? What do you think about that?
I don't care, to be honest.
Well, I said to Gareth in the hot take, John, about Maggie the Frog. Because she says, do you want me to tell you how you die? Like that.
She goes, sorry, what?
Can hear you, love.
Yeah.
Speak up.
You know me, I'm kind of, I don't really want any ties to Game of Thrones. You know, let's just treat it as it is.
I did say in the hot take as well, like, that would be a fascinating story. So, don't have time for that, unfortunately. So, yeah. That's a little tidbit for the future, dear listeners. So, they visit a shitty little play, which I thought was quite fun. In a way.
Not paying for that.
I think it's free, Gareth. I think it's free. I think they give like tips afterwards or something.
That's fine. optional. They
give up acting. You know, there you go. There's a tip. There's see you a later. Tip.
They end up visiting a brothel or a pleasure house, and Damon seduces a willing Rhaenyra, but unable, and this is my interpretation, and tell me if I'm wrong. He either, right, so there's two options. He either stops himself or he's got performance issues. And I think it's performance issues. Genuinely.
Yeah. He's not 100% fit, is
no,
he?
No, we've seen.
Give me out for a few weeks.
Yeah, give him a few weeks of rest. He's just had a battle at the Stepstones. Yeah. He's injured after that.
Booked in for a scan next week. But
no, but like, remember, he was shagging Myceria in episode one, and he just couldn't get it going.
Yes. Yeah.
That is true.
He couldn't get it going, could he? And she was like, do you want me to bring in those actors from across the street? He's like, definitely not. They're not going to help, are they? I mean, that's the suggestion, isn't it?
I think there's again, a third option, though.
Oh, yeah.
Third option, which is that everything he's doing is actually super calculated. And like, he wants to...
Super spicy.
He wants to be this... He wants to kind of get Rhaenyra to that point and...
Oh, yeah.
And leave her. And he wants to cause chaos. That's my vibe. But...
Littlefinger vibes. Littlefinger vibes with the chaos sort of shit. Yeah. Like just...
I don't think they showed it on camera, but maybe. Yeah.
Some of it...
No, you're thinking of
the
king.
Yeah, this is the thing. There's...
No fingers.
Yeah.
Not a fun night out.
There's no way that he could know what she would do next. So it is blind. It's a blind play. He's just like fucking going, okay,
no, that's
if
a
that
witch,
is calculated. I knew you were going to say that. But yeah, I like that, Gareth. I like the fact that you think he's just trying to, he's come back to the Red Keep just to cause mayhem for like one night and then fuck off again. Very interesting.
Back for one night only.
And he does.
For one night only.
It does get Rhaenyra fired up, because as soon as she gets back
fired
to the Red
up.
Keep, she entices Crispin Cole into the room and
she steals his helmet.
Him.
A little trickster.
That's one way of putting it. So, what do you think about that then?
Well, I spoke about it yesterday. So you go, John.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most obvious thing in the world that they were going to crack on with one another.
Lucy
told us last week.
Oh yeah. Sorry,
Lucy told us.
There's going to be dragons in this.
Maggie, Lucy the frog.
Lucy. I feel a little bit sorry for him, I have to say.
I feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for him.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I sort of felt sorry for me as well, because I was sitting there and I was like, can this fucking scene hurry up? Like,
nah, it was tender. It was nice, bro. It doesn't have to be.
Went on for ages. Like, I would never be a knight if it took me fucking 20 minutes to take my clothes off for sex. Like, Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah,
too long.
If that's too long, I feel bad for Michelle.
Well, take your clothes off. What the fuck do you wear to bed, mate?
you have to do a little dance. That's part of it.
Yeah. I've seen it. It's very arousing.
And the dance.
So I think it's time to talk about what the fuck is going on here, because this is like a whoa moment, because we've talked about Fire and Blood, the book, being an encyclopedic text where certain things are interpreted from first-hand accounts and mixed in with factual events like people dying or when battles started and when battles ended. And this has finally, in some ways, fallen down on a certain path that was told by Mushroom, the court jester, who is in Fire and Blood and is not in the show, because he's like a dwarf jester character.
So they just didn't want to cast
that's
him.
Why.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's interesting they haven't kept him in it.
Hello, Peter Dinklage speaking.
basically, most people around Mushroom
Warwick Davis
think
speaking.
He's stupid. Yeah.
You're right, Warwick. Have you got Peter's number?
So most people think that he's stupid, so they just say whatever they want to say in front of each other, in front of him. Sorry. So basically, they don't care about what he hears, and his details are always the most sordid and disgusting version of events. Mm. So what actually happens in the book here is it's believed that Rhaenyra came on to Kristen, and that basically he turns her down, and this starts a huge rift between them. But Mushroom's tale of events is that Daemon was sort of giving Rhaenyra kissing lessons for multiple nights and teaching her how to woo Kristen in the bedroom. And then she advances on Kristen, also gets rejected, right? So the fact that it actually happened in the show and they did have sex is extremely interesting because it gives this whole new context to those events. And Mushroom was kind of right in a way. So I think it's interesting they've gone down the Mushroom route, don't you think, John?
Yeah, yeah. Why haven't they got him in the show?
Well, I have no idea because I think the show is trying to be very inclusive, like of different ethnicities, and they've changed certain characters, and they've done that, and I think they've done a good job. But do you think it's because Tyrion was such an iconic character that they don't want to bring another character in of similar ilk? Do you know what I mean? And Mushroom is nowhere near the character that Tyrion is. You know, Tyrion is smart, intellectual,
a little person. Yeah,
you know, yeah. So that's what I mean. I mean, like, do you think they're just afraid that the character would be
compared?
I don't know, derivative and a bit like
maybe.
You know what I mean? I think there's an argument for and there's an argument against, and I don't know where I sit on it.
There was obviously a famous character cut from, you know, Stannis' crew. What was that Jester? Remember the drowned and
yes.
then with the same thing.
Oh,
very like
God.
Yeah, like a sage.
He is a jingle bells.
Yeah, let's just call him Jingle Bells. Yeah, why not? And then we can push this podcast out at Christmas.
Mr. Jingles.
Well. Mr. Jingles.
Mr. Jingles. Yeah.
Jingly. Mr. Baubles. Yeah.
But he was Jingle something,
but
I'm telling
I don't
you.
Think, I don't think he was remember. A little person. I actually think he was like...
No, he wasn't a little person.
He
was like a court jester, wasn't he? They keep around for
yeah,
a laugh.
Yeah, he was a jester.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
and
but
some
also
thought he might have prophecies and shit because he said some weird shit sometimes. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
But they cut him.
You're right.
Maybe he would have played a similar role in this. So maybe as a writer of a TV show, a character like that is, I don't know, maybe it just introduces too much for...
Yeah.
In a television
they
format,
cut Penny as well,
know.
Didn't they? They cut Penny as well,
they
didn't
did.
They? From
they did. You can Tyrion's understand why, though.
So very... Yeah, definitely. Difficult times there to basically truncate everything, the bastards. So...
I think, just quickly, like, I do think that is a really tough type of character to put into a show like this because it's like... Either, I don't know, a court jester seems like a light-hearted banter character, but when they're giving you sort of dark prophecies or they're sort of giving you a view of history, like, it's a tricky balance. Like, are you supposed to take them seriously or be scared of them or...
Yeah,
like,
and what would they do? Would they have a shot of Mushroom just, like, in the corner of the room just watching? Do you know what I mean? It's fucking weird. Like, so, you know.
His name is Patchface.
Difficult situation.
Patchface.
That's it. Patchface Jingle Boy.
Jingle Bells.
Why did I say it was Mr. Jingles? That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. Creepy.
Oh, there's a little picture of him.
Creepy fella.
He does look creepy, yeah. Is
that guy in the background looking at him?
Stannis.
Yeah. And then Emma Phillips, just to the left there.
Oh, yeah, it's John and Emma.
The listeners are going to be like shouting at us during that last 5 minutes going, it's fucking Patchface, you idiots. Not Mr. Jingles. And I'm like, yeah, no, whatever.
Anyway,
I forgot,
he's Mr.
Right.
Jingles from now on.
From now on, he's Mr. Jingles.
Hmm.
So Otto has little spies in and around King's Landing and Flea Bottom, and they inform him about Daemon and Rhaenyra's exploits. Alicent overhears Otto telling the king, and then she privately questions Rhaenyra, who denies having sex with Daemon. Mm. She's not lying in a way, because she didn't. So, I thought this was quite interesting. Like, Otto genuinely weighs up, should I tell him? Should I not tell him? And he's very uncomfortable telling him. Very uncomfortable. It was quite good from him, I felt, acting-wise.
Brilliant. Really good.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
And we know that Varys was the master of whispers. And it's quite nice to see that this tradition of having these little spies, these little birds in and around King's Landing was there hundreds of years before, right?
Mm. Where are these kids coming from? Honestly, you just kill them, wouldn't you? Like, if there was a kid knocking about, you just kill him,
what
wouldn't you?
What do you mean?
Nosy.
What?
You can't just kill kids willy-nilly, John.
Why not?
if there's fucking a kid hell. Knocking about, you would just kill
just
him.
Just kill him, innit?
John
McCann.
They're
all trouble in Flea Bottom.
2022.
I'm sick of them. Just sick of them. Just the ones in Flea Bottom. Everyone else, fine.
Like, come on, mate. You're a working class hero. You got to give them a chance.
I'm not a snitch, though. They're snitches, aren't they?
Snitches get stitches, bro.
Yeah.
The king angrily confronts Daemon, who seemingly confirms the accusation and proposes that he wed Rhaenyra. Viserys says Daemon only wants the marriage to gain the crown, then exiles his brother back to the Vale again. All right, John, you're a big proponent of the Daemon just because he's annoyed that the king is always just saying, oh, this person said this about me. He just always admits to it.
Mm.
You still
it.
On that train?
Am I still on that train? But this is different though, isn't it? A lot's happened since that initial accusation, of which I'm not entirely sure that he did say.
Four years or five years, maybe.
You know, a lot has happened since then. He's gone off and fought a war, you know, smashed up Mr. Crabman, proper smashed him up as well.
Smashed him.
Yeah, sucked all the juice out of his legs.
made a crown out of it.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah, smells. This scene, I was a bit disappointed in, actually. I don't think he's angry enough.
Viserys?
Yeah.
He loves him, though.
I know, but it's like, come on, fucking hell. You know, you've come back. I took your crappy little crown thing, gave you a little hug. You know, we were out in the garden having a drink.
Watch the football. A
couple of days later, you shagged my daughter. What are you doing, man? Honestly. You know, after we've watched the next game, you got to go, mate. honestly, I don't care if we get to the final. All right, if we get to the final, stay for that. But then, yes, just come on, mate.
What do you think about the marriage proposal? What do you think about the marriage proposal, his idea of wedding?
Good idea.
Do you think it's genuine?
Good idea in these circumstances, in these times.
Yeah. I'll marry her then. It's your niece, mate. What are you doing?
What
are you upset about? You know, we're dragons, yeah? When we were knocking about, we used to smash all the birds in the, you know, in the brothels, didn't we, in the pleasure houses. Everyone was like, hey, here they come. The Targos. Yeah, what's the problem, mate? That's my daughter. I've said again. This is mental. What's wrong with you, mate?
Okay, John.
Yeah,
can I ask you a question?
That's how the scene went.
This is very interesting. So why is Viserys so against it when both his parents were brother and sister? So Baelon and Alyssa Targaryen were brother and sister, and then they got married and they had Daemon and Viserys. So he's from a product of incestuous relationship.
Okay. But he says, doesn't he? He turns around and he's like, you don't want my daughter, you want the crown. It's not my daughter.
Do you think
you
he likes Rhaenyra? He likes Rhaenyra. He likes Rhaenyra.
Well,
he
does. He likes her, but he can't maintain an erection,
does
can
he? Love
so,
her?
You know, how much does he like her? You know what I mean?
True.
That's what I'm saying.
True, mate. That's the barometer that we're going
power. That's what he wants. That's why he can't get an erection. It's not sex that he requires. It's, you know, he wants power. He wants to be the best.
Interesting.
He's coming across as a bit of a tosser this episode, I have to be honest.
He is a bit of a tosser, though. That's his character. Like, he's got good moments and bad moments. He's 100%
tosser in this episode. You know, I quite like 60% tosser. You know, let's get us thinking.
Jamie Lannister style. Yeah. All right, then, Gareth. So, to avoid scandal, Viserys orders Rhaenyra to marry Ser Laenor Velaryon. Now, Gareth, if you don't remember.
I remember.
And listeners. I know. I'm just telling the listeners.
Don't tell them. Yeah. Don't tell them. They've got to work as well.
Laenor Velaryon is the one who was riding the dragon Sea Smoke.
Yeah.
Going, oh, yeah. Man. Woo. All right.
Kick ass.
Never ending story. Oh, dear.
Look at them all jumping in the bin and everything. It's good, isn't it?
What do you reckon about this marriage decision, Gareth? It's the correct one, isn't it?
It's very sensible. It makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of bother could have been saved if this had just been suggested earlier.
Mm. It was suggested last episode, a year ago.
Last episode, 1 year ago.
Lionel Strong suggested it.
It was a great suggestion. That's what we said, old Lord Strong. He's a smart guy. Strong boy. He's a really smart guy. Like,
good, isn't it? Promote him.
Strong by name, smart by nature, you know?
Yeah.
That's what they say about him.
All right. It makes a lot of sense, and I think it'd prevent a civil war.
And why not? Like, he's a good-looking guy. He's got a dragon. Like, it's a great match.
Yeah. 100%. It's a good match. We'll find out why it might not be in future episodes.
No, it's going to be a brilliant match, all right?
Okay, sorry. Yes. Yeah. Let's talk about this dagger then. So at the same time as this conversation, he's like, look, Rhaenyra, you've got to remember, right, that it's not about you or me. It's about this fucking prophecy, yeah? And if you ever forget it, just put this dagger in the fire and these little words will illuminate. And you can see it says, the prince that was promised, and that will be the Song of Ice and Fire. Yeah, so don't ever forget it. Remember, put it in the fire, and it will tell you, all right? So don't forget, all right? Mad.
And this is how you kill the Night King.
What do you think then, John? Me and Gaz talked about it in Hot Takes. Let you have a little say on this.
Yeah, look,
dagger sitch.
When it came up, I zoned out a little bit because I knew I'd get annoyed otherwise. If I just deleted that whole thing, then I'd be like, yeah, you know, excellent episode. But they keep souring it with this nonsense. Like, it doesn't matter. We're not interested in that. All right? Can we just focus on this story right now? We don't need to. We don't give a shit about the fucking dagger. All right?
I guess the only way it's useful is if it's a motivation for Rhaenyra later on, but it doesn't seem like it is, you know? Like, a motivation for her to, like, unite the realm and part of the prophecy. Anyway, let's talk about the prince that was promised prophecy, because it is actually mentioned here, which is interesting, because we did say, after the first episode, we said, so this is like the prince that was promised prophecy. and you will have heard it in Game of Thrones, and it's, of course, the same prophecy that Melisandre preaches, that of Azor Ahai, who would be born amid salt and smoke and would pull Lightbringer from the fire to defeat the darkness. Obviously, that's Lord of Light shit, but this prophecy is a Targaryen prophecy, apparently. And it's an interesting
plagiarism.
One because we are, well, in a way, we all know that Dany was reborn in the fire in season one. And John, of course, was also reborn. And we know that from the books, well, we know from the show that the prophecy's bollocks, it seems, because of the way that show ended. But what I will say is, in the books, it's believed that both are needed to complete the prophecy. In a way, they do in the show, but it's not right, is it?
Tenuous,
guys,
isn't it?
You know? It's tenuous at best. And although George has these, he likes to play with the misinterpretation of prophecy, which I think is really interesting, like the way that people read it, which is why you get like Reddit thread upon Reddit thread upon Reddit thread. See, now you see the way these two words link up. That means that this is going to happen. You know what I mean? And that is very interesting. But the thing I don't like about this is it makes Rhaegar just seem so pointless as a character. You know, Rhaegar is meant to be this dreamer who has this dream and this prophecy that his child will be the prince that is promised. This makes it seem that like he's just, I don't know, just been told it by the Mad King, maybe.
Well, he dropped a dagger in the fire, didn't he? He was like, oh, what's this say?
What's this say? Yeah. There is a line where it says, I think in the book, something like Rhaegar found something in his scrolls. This is someone recounting what Rhaegar did, because obviously he's dead in the books by the time you're in the books. Yeah. He says he finds a scroll, and then he says, I'll require a sword and armor. I have to be a warrior. Warrior. Yeah, so it's like he finds this piece of information. What I do think is interesting, right, guys, is how does... I will talk about it again. How does this make you feel about the Mad King? Because it's mad.
Burn them all. Yeah. Actually, like, yes, good advice. He's just been misinterpreted. I don't think you have to say, oh, well, Rhaegar's pointless. There's a chance that this message gets lost at some point in the next 150 years or whatever. Like,
yes.
And is the Mad King necessarily going to be passing on coherent messages to Rhaegar? I don't think so.
So John's suggestion of it just being in the fire isn't stupid necessarily. Maybe that does happen. And this is what's interesting. You are right, because after the Civil War, maybe shit goes down and it does get lost. And he maybe rediscovers it. But that is interesting. I think the Mad King thing, like, do you think we'll get anything in the books about this in the next two books, if they ever arrive, obviously? Do you think we'll get, like, some of this told to us in those two books, Winds of Winter and Dreams of Spring?
I think we would, if they get finished. I do think that they would, because there's been so much foreshadowing and so many, like, so much repeating of, you know, like, his final words and his final days, like, that, without it ever really being explained. I think that's in the plan.
And George has told them this thing, right, guys? Like, George is essentially not a showrunner, but he's a, you know, they passed this stuff. This has gone through his, he's looked at the script. He's written parts of the script. So if this has come from him, we have to be getting it in the book. And I just think it's going to be so much more satisfying in a book. You know what I mean? With context.
Yeah.
Because right now it's just like, John's right. Unless it affects Rhaenyra's motivations in the fucking show, which I'm not seeing any signs of yet. She doesn't really care about anything at the moment. Unless it's like a driving force, you know, behind the things that she does, it doesn't make any sense telling us this information now, you know, other than like, hey, look, it's linked to the White Walkers.
Yeah, it's just a nugget. It's a nugget. Stupid. Little nugget for everyone.
Nuggy.
Needless. Little nuggy. No one cares.
Anyway, let's move on. So the king, on Rhaenyra's, you know, advice, decides to dismiss Otto as Hand, feeling that Otto has been manipulating him for his own personal gain.
What a revelation that was, eh? Oh, actually, I'm thinking about this. Your young daughter, you sending to my chambers when my wife died. That was a bit ambitious of you, wasn't it? Yeah, he switched on, man. I'm telling you. People have a go at him. He switched on.
Yeah.
That daughter of yours, I liked the scene.
She's your daughter, isn't she?
Your Grace. How good was that? Oh, actually, you're a bit sly. If I think about it, you're just in it for yourself, aren't you? Let's be honest. Your Grace. Stop saying
Your
that.
Grace,
you've been caught out, right? That's it. Come on, you're sacked now. I'm sorry, but I don't like to do it. you know. So I'm going to take this little badge off you. Stay around for the game, right? But once the game's over,
you're out. You've got to go. Again, all right, if we do get to the final, I have got tickets already, so you can come to that. But
yeah, because otherwise it's a waste.
I thought it was very good that Viserys was like talking about his father and how his father died. Like, Balon was meant to be king. It was Jaehaerys decided that Balon was going to be king, and he was this great Balon the Brave, I think it was, a very great warrior, and he died like Robert at a hunt of a burst belly. And they talk about how
different sort of burst belly, like, yeah, not burst by a boar.
And they talk about how that event obviously is started off this chain reaction. It started off the Great Council, which needed to decide who was the next heir and all this stuff that happened. And Viserys is now king. Now, it was interesting to get the Robert parallels, but it was also nice to get information on Balon. And we find out that Balon was the dragon rider of Vhagar. And as we all remember, Vhagar's been AWOL for a little while. Do you reckon he's coming back?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah? John's nodding. John's nodding, everyone. Yes. He's forgotten this is an audio format. Just nodding away. No, but I thought that was cool information, right, guys? Do you think that was cool information? All this stuff about... I like the way that Viserys says it, like 5 days.
Can I ask you?
5 days. You were the second most powerful person in the realm.
Do you reckon there's an implication? I mean, there is a possible implication that Otto is responsible for Baylor's death. Like...
Well, that's implied, isn't it?
Surely, though, Viserys would do a little bit more than just take his little badge away if he genuinely thought that.
I don't think he genuinely thinks it, but it is a coincidental thing. He's like, well, you know, you went from just some guy to within 5 days, you were the second most powerful man in the realm. And he's been warned about Otto by Daemon and Rhaenyra now. And it's all there to see for him. He's like John said, he's smart. He's figured it out, yeah, on his own.
Well, hold on.
Okay, so
let me have a think here. But there's a line before this where he's talking about his small council and he's like, yeah, but they're all in it for themselves. And it's like, yeah, they are. Yeah, and he goes, yeah, they're all in it for themselves, so I'll sack only one of them. What's going on here? Why are you doing that? Yeah, unfair, to be honest. If he took him to, you know...
Court.
Yeah.
Wrongful dismissal.
Yeah.
Get a fucking fortune.
Get Beric Dondarrion from dragons. Season one back. He'll represent you.
From finance, yeah.
No, we're going to have to seize your dragons, mate. I'm sorry, but, you know, well, you try, mate. Go on.
Yeah, we'll get the bailiffs in later.
So Otto's gone for a while, which is... I think very interesting. And now this is the final scene, and there's a lot to talk about here. As a precaution, the king sends, I put precaution in quotation marks, because he definitely thinks that Rhaenyra had sex with Daemon, even though he says, you know, he believes Rhaenyra. As a precaution, the king sends Grand Maester Melos to give Rhaenyra some moon tea. Now,
power play.
Moon tea, for anyone who doesn't know, is essentially the morning after pill in Game of Thrones world. Characters throughout the books take it regularly. thinking of characters like Cersei. Obviously, all of them in the Red Keep, basically. Fucking,
just one, then.
he's brewing moon tea, Pycelle. He's brewing moon tea, like, fucking every day. He's just getting a pot ready. And just brewing.
Cersei.
So
all of the others.
All of them.
Well, I'll give you more if you need them, but
start with Cersei.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's interesting. Does she drink it, guys? Does she drink the moon tea? It ends with a shot of her looking at it.
This is what I was talking about yesterday, about all these pickles everywhere, because she now
pickle
is in a position where she can't tell anybody that she's got it on with Crispy, and she's saying that she hasn't had sex with her uncle, which is true. But so the tea is perfect, but she can't drink it because then it shows that to everybody else that she's had sex with her uncle.
Honestly.
What a pickle.
I know. It's like Days of Our Lives, isn't it? It's just like, what can you do, eh? Drama. Yeah. Yeah, if it ended with the EastEnders thing where it's like, do,
yeah.
That would be perfect, wouldn't it?
That crash zoom into her face at the end when she turned and faced the camera was perfect.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. This is going to get very interesting next episode. I'm interested. I am very interested. Now, look, this isn't a spoiler or anything, but let's just say this time, if it follows the timeline like it does, fuck me. This is a point of contention that once again, the show has decided to sort of reveal to us that the books never did. Because John, you know, remember these strong boys?
Yes.
You know, in the future, yeah. Well, let's just say maybe they're not so strong. One of them.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
Eh?
You know what I'm saying?
On with the leg.
So. Yeah.
Well, have you seen the preview for the next episode?
I don't watch the previews.
Oh, okay. Do you want to know?
I don't like watching them.
Do you want to know what the next episode is?
What called?
No, I don't know what it's called, but...
Okay, well, go on then, tell me. But I don't want to watch it, but you can tell me.
Well, there's a wedding that takes place.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, Laenor and Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's read between the lines.
Mushroom and Mr. Jingles. I knew it. A match made
Lord
in
Blackwood.
Heaven.
Arrested.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Anyway, I just think keep an eye on that, guys. And remember, moon tea. Did she take the moon tea?
Yes.
I am fascinated.
Yes.
No, she didn't. I don't think she did. No, she didn't.
Yes, anyway, she did.
Have you guys got anything else you want to discuss for the episode before we move on to feedback?
Yeah, so the first 30 seconds of the next episode is just a gulping down the tea.
Glug, glug, glug. And then she goes...
more of that, actually.
That's delicious. Mm.
How about she doesn't drink it, but then she leaves it on the side, and then Alicent sees... that there's moon tea and she's like,
that's annoying.
Well, you
that's
said
annoying.
She's that. Like, well, you said that you didn't, and she's like, well, no, I didn't. She's like, well, why have you got the moon tea then?
I like it.
Or how about this? She does drink it, but it hasn't been brewed properly and it has some unwanted consequences, like
turns into a werewolf.
The baby's a dragon.
That'd be
well, yeah.
No, not well.
Who knows, Gav? No, there's nothing. I don't know why I'm saying well.
That's
a lie to the listeners or anything.
She gives birth to an egg
anyway.
That ends up being Drogon.
Yeah, they ship it off to Essos.
Yeah.
And that is how it happens. All right, let's move on to feedback. And we've been running a bit long, so we'll do a couple
of them. Make it quickie.
Yeah, not too quick, but not as quick as Damon, anyway.
Well, he doesn't even get started, does he?
No, he doesn't. But Christopher said, hi, guys, loving the podcast and the hot takes too. Did you notice there was a new line of blood in the title sequence this week from Alicent's symbol? This referring to her new baby, Helaena Targaryen. We did see... That's very... Thanks, Chris. We did see...
thanks, Chris.
The baby, Helaena, Helaena Targaryen, didn't we?
Yes.
We did see her today in this episode.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that in the title sequence. So, John, it does evolve. And Gareth, it does evolve.
We're still not clear, though, is it?
Thanks for involving me.
It's all right. It's not clear. So,
well, John,
it doesn't matter.
John has a go at it. Anyway.
You know. But, no, well done.
I don't care. Like, I think that's a great observation. Well done. I don't have the energy to analyse it. So, I'm glad Christopher's on.
Can I be honest with you guys?
Mm.
Can I be honest with you? I've been skipping the intro.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's an option. I've been skipping
it.
It
pops up.
And I tell you why, John, because I'm fucking sick of that song now.
Mm.
I'm annoyed at
it. How's it go again?
Because it's not its own thing.
Game of Thrones, yeah. And then just the title sequence, House of the Dragon.
Yeah, that's how it should be. No, like, I'm just so fed up of it. Like,
yeah.
I get it. Like, you want to keep the continuation, but I'm sorry. Anyone who thinks they've done a masterstroke by keeping that title, you're deluded. You're fucking deluded, all right? They're lazy as fuck, and they should have just done a new theme song, so, all right?
On that basis, can we just ask Christopher just to give us regular updates on the title sequence?
Yeah, Christopher, you watch it, all right? Because it's like your Netflix, Western Netflix.
Yeah. We watch it so you don't have to.
Slogan. We watch it so you don't have to. Chris, that is your new oath that you've taken to this podcast. You must watch it and then let us know if anything else happens, all right?
Thanks, mate.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for that one. Sue's in Florida.
Sue's?
And said, Sue's, yeah.
As in Susan.
Well, I think it's Susie.
Good. I'm just clarifying.
Okay. Calm
weird
down.
Clarification.
Jesus Christ.
No, just asking.
Christopher, as in Christopher.
Well, was it Christopher or Chris? You know.
It was Christopher.
All right. Just double checking. All right. Yeah. Well, anyway.
Suze in Florida says this. Hey, guys and ladies. I so enjoy your podcast. First met you via Watchmen podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy listening so much. Frequently. When cleaning around the house or driving and just want something good to listen to. I have a confession. I've even listened to your podcast about a movie or show I didn't even see. I just missed you all after Watchmen. That excellent show ended. I'm thrilled you're all over Dance of Dragons. Or House of the Dragon. It is the Dance of Dragons.
Yeah.
That is the Civil War that's about to happen. So you're right. That's lovely. And do you know what's funny? This feedback gets read out on the episode that is just the Minutemen from the Watchmen podcast. What a coincidence that is. Lovely little coincidence. God, we missed that show, don't we?
Yes.
Good show, that.
Yes.
Bring it back for us and for Suze.
How many five bloob episodes in that
it was
first
like,
season?
Just it was like
superb,
four?
Wasn't it?
It's so good.
Superb. It was absolutely superb. If no one has seen The Watchmen, go watch it. HBO show as well. And then you can listen to The Watchmen Watchers and or the podcasts are also on Fan Critical Channel. So please do check them out. But thanks for that, Suze, making us think of Watchmen times. Beth has also written in and said she's watching House of the Dragon. One of our loyal Patreons, Beth, has also written in saying she's watching House of the Dragon only because of our podcast, because it's like the old days of Watchmen, which is damn straight. I mean, you know, they were good days.
Are these all going to be about Watchmen?
No, genuinely. It's just been in fact, I will say that a lot of people who did watch
Swiss
Watchmen
Canal.
Have now.
Which canal?
A lot of people who watch Watchmen are now watching House of the Dragon and listening to our content. So we really do appreciate that support, guys. Mm. And we're glad that we can be covering a show that you are watching once again. So thank you. You can, of course, write into us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. The email will be in the show notes. You can also comment on any social media posts. The Twitter, Instagram and Facebook links will also be in the show notes. And of course, if you do want to sponsor us further, you can go to patreon.com/fancritical and give us some monies, just like Terry did this week.
Thanks, Terry.
And you can just do that. Thanks, Terry, once more.
Thanks, Terry.
Give us monies. Please donate the lovely monies. You know, it's free in a way. We've got over 200 episodes of our podcast on our channel for free. It's a bloody bargain, isn't it, boys? Absolute bargain.
I would pay no money to listen to it.
£1.
Myself, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Value.
Good.
A pound is about $1.25. Yeah. So,
yeah.
You shame do the math. Get Beric in to do the math from finance.
Yeah. Put his glasses back on.
And that's it for this week, everybody. Thank you for tuning in for our review of episode 4, our deep dive of episode 4, King of the Narrow Sea. I have been joined by Bronze John. Thank you.
Thanking you, sir.
Lovely. And of course, keeping us full, keeping our bellies full and keeping our cups even more full, even brimming over the edge, some would say, with Dornish Red and Arbor Gold.
Fucking
and
everywhere.
The finest meads of the land is
trusty
Squire Gareth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, John, you haven't heard this, but if Gareth does a fantastic job for the rest of the season, he will get his knighthood.
I don't care.
But...
He said he doesn't care, so...
Yeah, well, look, if he keeps acting like this, we'll behead him. No. So he's got obviously, he gets to the end of the,
you won't,
end of the show,
keep,
he's dead.
I'll keep giving you your
or
little wine.
He gets a knighthood.
And then there'll be an uprising, and it will be known as Gareth's Rebellion, and
they'll be like, your
head
wasted all this wine?
Yeah.
Who's that idiot?
Your bronze bitch over there. You.
Oh, God. Jesus. Anyway, thank you, lovely listeners. We'll be back next week with our hot take of episode 5. And then, of course, the deep dive a few days later. Thanks to Bronze John. Thanks to trusty Squire Gareth. Thank you to you, dear listeners. And we'll catch you on the next one. See ya.
Bye.
Goodbye.